Herzlich willkommen beim ImproLife Podcast. Agile Methoden und Trainertools für die Arbeitswelt 4.0.
Yeah, welcome to the ImproLife Podcast. I'm here on the ARM conference in Paris and I'm very, very happy to sit together now with Raymond van Driel from Gouda in the Netherlands, isn't it?
It's where the cheese come from.
Yeah, okay. So maybe Raymond, introduce yourself a little bit and say our listeners, how do you say that?
Listeners? Well, hello listeners.
Hello listeners, ARN people or improv interested people.
I'm Raymond van Driel. I'm Dutch. I've been practicing applied improvisation since 2000. And I see it as a mindset. I see it as a way of life. I'm really, really, so really happy that I was able to make my work out of my hobby.
Yeah.
And
that's what a lot of us have in common here when we.
Isn't it?
Yes. I did the same thing. It was when I switched from law to nothing. Mm-hmm. It was also have a deep belief in that there is something really. Great, what's helping me in my life, and I was really, really into improv and said, okay, now I stop everything and do something with it. And if there are no jobs, then I have to create one.
Yep.
And so I think this is what a lot of first movers with improv did.
Yeah.
So can you tell a little bit how was it in your life? How did improv change your life?
I like to think about it as there are two modalities. My mother is a very beautiful, emotional, human-centered woman. My father is a very cognitive, result-driven, and also a bit judgmental person. And I've been having that my whole life. So I studied psychology, but I also studied computer science and 2 years of drama. And then I went into an ICT job as a project manager. And then I also went, and after that I did a lot of trainings and coaching because I was already doing improv by then. And because I did a lot of improv when I was a student, and I became a Dutch national champion 4 times.
Uh-huh. And
thank you.
Very proud. Thanks.
Oh my God. but it really gave me a lot of exposure, and a lot of people knew me and were interested in what we're doing. So in 2000, I came together with 4 other improvisers who also were friends and communication trainers as well. And we decided that all the really, really good stuff we did on stage, that we really should do something in our work with that. So that's how improvisation, for me, applied improvisation was created with a company called Improfit.
Mm-hmm.
And then it really, really, really grew. As soon as we did one team or department from a bigger company, then we were invited to do the rest of the company. And we had situations that for example, on one ICT company, the director, the CEO, quit his job and joined us.
Mm-hmm.
And really gave us a really big network because of that. And yeah, and it's amazing, and I'm so grateful and honored that I'm invited all over the world to do keynotes. Mm-hmm. and help leaders and teams and trainers and do a lot of trainers.
Mm-hmm.
Like you. And help spread the improv virus and all the awesomeness we have.
Yeah, I like to drive a little bit deeper into this thing of cultural differences between Germany and the Netherlands.
Mm.
So my experience was in Germany that in the middle of the 90s and till the middle of the 2010s, or what do you say, till 2005 or something, that the topic of improv was really like, okay, we play improv shows for mm-hmm. companies, we have improv in business, but it's more like we do shows and be funny and have energizers and stuff like this.
Yes.
And that was my experience with the most people I knew who did worked with improv in the business.
Yes.
And when I started to work with improv in therapy, health and innovation areas like this, and also brought it together with agile things in the beginning of the 2000 years, I did extreme programming and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And nobody in Germany was really open to discuss the option to use applied improv really as a as a method to go into team development, really into leadership training and stuff like this.
It's what we call, they're immunized. They get this shot, so they already had improvisation or theater sports, and they were like, oh no, thank you, we already know that.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think the problem originates in that a lot of improvisers come from theater, which is great, and they know the mindset and what it does to them, and they a lot of them are able to reflect on their personal growth, but there's so much more. If you just do improv with people, then there are two sides to that, right? One side is all what we do with an improv training. So there's speed, there's energy, there's spontaneity, people have fun, let go, feel safe, are connected, and all that. And if you just do that, then you have great team building. You might be generating creativity, but it's just that, right? Exactly what you're saying. And the other side of the skill is that you have the bridging to work practice, and there is a slowing down. And then there's the thinking, the deeper cognitive strategies, and there's the reflection and the confrontation, because sometimes you experience something you don't like, and or you find out like, hey, I don't do this at my work, what's the difference? And there's a slowing down, and there's also the isolation because of that, because you go into your heads and you're not connected anymore. So there are two different modalities, situations. There's the improv fun, creation connected situation, and on the other side of the scale the deepening and the confrontation, all that. And if you're just on the other scale, then it's boring and brainy and all that. So you need to combine that, and that's one of the challenges of applied improvisation, to go between those things all the time. And that's what we do during the run of the exercise. We are happy and jumping and connected, and we feel. And then we need to go into the debrief, and then back again. Exactly. So a good implied improvisation trainer, I think one of the biggest challenges for a trainer is to get your group from to switch between those modi all the time.
Yeah. So you do also a lot of train the trainer stuff. You know, the academy in Berlin, we do a three-step program.
Guys are doing there.
Yeah, we do 12 days for personality training, 12 days for the tool set. Then we have 20 days almost for applied improv and agile. It's really a huge range of years you can spend by not having improv in your mind. So really develop the mindset, the embodiment, and do all the stuff. So what is your experience? Are people in the Netherlands really open to go the deep way in their education to improv? Or what is your experience? You're a great improv trainer, or train the trainer also, you have programs. Share a little bit about your experiences you have. Or do the people just say, oh, I know these games and I do this now in my training and that's fine? Is it enough, or what is your perspective?
It depends where they come from. I find that some people are really keen. If you talk about the training of trainers, I do them two or sometimes even three times this year in the Netherlands, and it's really easy to get the groups filled. So I definitely see a change if I compare that to 10 years ago. And I think that the world is changing, and what I really like, and my foreign colleagues are very often jealous on that, is that we have a lot of improv and theater sports in such a small country as the Netherlands. Right now we have 118 different groups spread out.
We have 300, around about 300 in Germany right now. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
That's great, isn't it?
So many people. Yeah.
So a lot of people actually doing and practicing that, and they have been doing that as a student, and now they get into this new job positions where they make more decisions, and they brought their mindset and their what they felt with improvisation to their jobs, and they know how important it was for them. So it really starts to grow there.
That's exactly what we did 15 years ago or 20 years ago, and now they do it.
Yeah.
And I see, I can see this change also, that you have more and more people that are really trained in improv.
Yes.
And that they want to live it, not only on stage, but they really want to apply it to their life, to their family life, to their work. And this is the experience you can share.
And for example, four years ago, and that was a really special moment for me, I was with a big training institute in the Netherlands, and we were in a gathering of trainers. And then the concept of Yes And was introduced, and everybody knew what it was. Mm-hmm. There was no question at all, and everybody was so
amazing.
You can
really start, you know, you don't have to explain so many things. You can really dive deeper very fast. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really, really cool. So tell us a little bit about your new projects. What are you working on? What are you looking for? What's coming next?
Yes. Yeah. Well, what I'm really proud of is that after I was invited to Australia in March by my really lovely and esteemed and colleague, which I really respect, Viv McWaters. So I gave trainings in Melbourne and in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing online coaching.
Great.
Which was totally new for me. I never, I really hesitated to do that because I thought, with interactions and all our activities are very interactional, I thought like maybe we should not do that, but I thought I would give it a try, and right now I'm training, I'm having quite a lot of online coaches.
Wonderful.
And another thing which I've been doing since 2-3 years now is giving keynotes to 200-250 person groups. And I have so much, really so much fun with that. And I see people changing, and I see, because I'm planting those seeds, when you give people that feeling of what it is like to improvise, to support to each other, to feel free, to let go more, and then people really are inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really nice, and results also in smaller training, smaller group trainings.
Great. I think we should mention that you and Vickel, you developed a play. It's called Play.
Oh.
It's your system you're working with.
Many years ago, I came up with a rainy Sunday afternoon or morning, I developed a framework. I started doing that, which I call the play model, and it has been doing great things for me. It really helped growing my business because it's a very easy and a way of explaining applied improvisation to clients who never heard of applied improvisation.
Yeah.
And I find that it really resonates with my clients, and it goes around. Together with Barbara Tint and Viv McWaters, and also with Paul Z. Jackson, I wrote articles about the play model, and it's a great marketing instrument for me because people it goes around. I'm very honored that a lot of other improvisers are using the model to explain it to their clients, and I love working with. And to summarize, the play model is an acronym, and it stands for presence, being in the moment, being connected, leaping into it, just do it, step into it, step into the unknown, be okay with uncertainty. Mm-hmm. It's being adaptive, it's being really letting yourself and allowing yourself to be changed. Your thinking, your way of working. There's a why from yes ending, and there's the exclamation mark of impact and being passionate in how you lead and how you follow. And the yes ending, and we had many discussions during this conference already, I know that many people use yes and, but I find that there's also a bit of confusion sometimes because of the words, and it's about what the words actually represent, not about the exact words. For example, yes is about appreciation and acknowledgement, and not necessarily about agreement.
And yes, say yes to everything. So this is a big misunderstanding.
Yes. Yeah. So you can say yes like oh, great that you're giving me this offer or that you want to connect. But you don't necessarily need to agree. And the end part is about addition and bringing the steward forward and continuing it. Yes is about bringing the outside in. And is about bringing the inside out. Mm. Something I learned from the AAN conference in Oxford. So that's why people sometimes have a little bit hesitation in adopting yes and, because they feel like that you need to agree on something, that you need to go along with it. That they fear that you will lose control.
I think that's one great example how it's so important to dive deeper into improv to really understand what it means, and just take the buzzwords or take these quick sentences and just mess around with them and create a big misunderstanding.
Yes.
Raymond, tell me one thing you were really excited here on the conference. What did you, one experience that was really, what do you take home from the conference?
As I said, I started doing keynotes like 2 or 3 years ago, and I always have been like this university teacher or this lecturer or having this frowning face and talking about serious stuff. And there's the other Raymond who does improv shows and hops around the stage like a little bunny or something like that. Mm-hmm. And this conference, I challenged myself, helped by my marvelous, really lovely coach Erica. Erica Marks, that I would be playful. So I actually started my keynote with a little scene, and which I really remember lively from my start of my career. And it was really, really nice doing that, and also really good for me and one step forward in going out of my own comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And trying it out, and I'm really going to do that more.
Yeah, so that's a good good perspective for the future.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Raymond, for the conversation.
Always nice talking to you.
And I hope to see you soon back in Berlin for a masterclass or whatever you want to do together again. And have a great time.
I would love that.
Yeah.
So is this microphone on?
It's still on.
Okay.
I hope it's on.
You've been recording
this? Yeah. Did I forget to ask you anything that was important to you?
I think I'll have lunch now.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Mehr Infos über die Impro Live Akademie und unsere Angebote findet ihr online auf www.impro-live-akademie.com.